I don't know how many of you were here last weekend, but Brother Zoran at the end had a sermon pretty much closing out the year. The new year started and we're already in it a couple of days. So I'd like to ask the question, how's that going for you? You know, typically this time of the year, there are New Year's resolutions that are made. Or there are maybe, you don't want to call them New Year's resolutions, maybe things that you want to get or accomplish in your life. Some may say, well, you know, you want to go here, do this or do that, and call them bucket lists. And as it so happened that the Lord has tasked me to have the message, the first message of the year of 2020. And I don't want to use the word task as being something that's a burden or something that's a heavy burden or labor. And I appreciate that. And as I was thinking on and asking the Lord to guide my thoughts on what to speak this morning or what he would have me to speak, he showed me a portion of scripture which we're all familiar with. And Sister Olga, I'm not sure if you, Sister Vesna, are taking the notes, you're taking notes. I titled this morning's sermon, Stepping Out in Faith in the New Year. Stepping Out in Faith in the New Year. And perhaps you can guess what portion of scripture I plan on reading from. With the help of the Lord, let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. And let's start with verse 22 to the end. Matthew 14, verse 22 to the end. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go before him onto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And when they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came to land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out unto all that were round about and brought unto him that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. You know, I don't know why the Lord has laid on my heart to expound and to meditate on this chapter of Peter walking on water. But those of you that weren't in Bible class this morning, you missed a good class. The topic of it was facing the future with God. You know, as we start off this year, just like any other year, we have some expectations. And for some, this year is going to be a good year. For some, this year is going to be really happy. They've got, you know, you may have your goals that you want to hit, and perhaps you're going to reach them. Maybe you reached them last year. But that's not going to be true for every one of us. And I can almost guarantee you that sometime in this year, if not once, a lot more, you're going to find yourself in a situation that's going to be extremely challenging. And the question is how do we deal with that? And this is where I feel the Lord's laid it on my heart, that we revisit this portion of Scripture. Kind of to get a background of where we're at, before we get into the story of Peter and the disciples on the sea. At this point, John was incarcerated by Herod, King Herod. John and King Herod had some confrontations because Herod wanted to take his brother's wife, and he told him that that's not right, you shouldn't be doing that. He convicted him, he told him, and he locked him up. He was upset with him. Scripture tells us that when it was his birthday, his daughter was dancing in front of him, and he asked his daughter, "What is it that you would like? I'll give you anything." And being coached by her mom, she said she wants the head of John. You see, John was a thorn in his side, in her side, and they wanted to eliminate that. Scripture tells us that Herod did like John, and he was sorry that he had to behead John. But nevertheless, as a king and to keep his word, he did so. And when this happened, they told the disciples came and took the body and buried John. They went and they told Jesus what happened. Now, mind you, John the Baptist did baptize Jesus. Jesus loved John. And no doubt that there were some feelings of sorrow of what happened. The reason why I say that is because just after that, Jesus then, in verse 13, he heard of it, he departed thence by the ship into a desert place, and when the people heard of it, let me back up. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. Which means he was alone, being apart, which means he was separated. He wanted a little bit of a time for himself. However, the multitude heard where he was at, and seeing all the miracles that he's done, and people that are there that were inquisitive, perhaps there are some that needed healing, there are some that wanted to see the healing being done, and some that just wanted to be with their friends that were there. But most of them were there because they had this desire to be there. And then while they're in the desert, he healed. He was moved with compassion, he healed the sick. And then when it was time for dinner, they're in the middle of the desert. Scripture tells us there's about 5,000 men, not women and children, but 5,000 men plus the women and children. And it was time to eat. It was dinner time. But in the middle of the desert, there's no food. Disciples tell Jesus, "Listen, why don't you tell the multitude to go back into town so that they can eat?" And Jesus said unto them, "They don't need to go." And I'm going to paraphrase English conversation. "They don't need to go. We're going to give them to eat." And if you can imagine the conversation between the disciples and Jesus, "But Jesus, we have no food. There's very little. There's 5,000 plus people. How are we going to feed them?" And he said, "Bring them hither to me." And if we look in Mark and maybe some of the other chapters, it gives us a little bit more detail of the organization that took place for Jesus to feed the 5,000. And so a miracle happened. Out of 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread, more than 5,000 people were fed. And as we read this, scripture does tell us in Mark that those that were handling out the baskets, those that were giving out the food, were astonished and truly saw that a miracle has been performed. And I thought in my life as I read this, how many times do things happen around me that I don't see that a miracle has been performed? Then after everyone was satisfied, Jesus sent the multitude away. And if we look in verse 22, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side. While he was sending the multitudes away, he's given directions to the disciples. I want you to go to Bethsaida, get in the ship, and I want you to go. I'll meet you there. I'll be there in a bit. And when he sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Again, Jesus separated himself. He wanted to be alone. He wanted alone time because he wanted to pray. And while this was happening, when Jesus was up in the mountains and the disciples are in the boat in the ship, all of a sudden a storm came up. Big, tall seas, winds blowing. Yesterday, I had the pleasure of being with our relative, my cousins, and out in family on the ocean, and where there was a bit of a breeze, but it was nice. It wasn't too treacherous, and I was thinking about being out on the ocean as the disciples were also being out on the sea. Completely different. It was time. The scripture says it was about the fourth watch. They're rowing contrary. They're going against current. Or you can say they're rowing uphill, getting nowhere. Mark's account says, when he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh to them. While they're in this boat, in the middle of this lake, rowing, trying to get to the other side, scripture tells us that Jesus saw them toiling. You see, Jesus was up in the mountains and they were in the boat. They were in a place of peril. And Jesus was up in the mountain. There's this great distance between the two of them. And as we think today, Jesus is at God's right hand, up in heaven, and we're down on earth in the midst of toil. Some similarity there. But what's interesting is that it says that Jesus saw them, just like Jesus sees you and me. And while they were rowing, there was a bit of fear, and maybe a lot of fear. Now, taking also consideration, these were fishermen. They were experienced. They've been out on the ocean before, perhaps not to this extent. And as they were rowing, Jesus is there. He walks by, and they see him. Perhaps it's the first time they saw him, first time seeing a spirit or a ghost. I can't say that I've seen a spirit or a ghost. I probably react the same way. But seeing Jesus first time says that they cried out for fear. They were afraid. And he responded to them because he knew their needs. He knew where they were at, and said, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And then we see Peter, and Peter says, Lord, says, if it's you, bid me to come. Bid me to come unto thee on water. Now, we know that Peter was always had a bold attitude. He always spoke first before he really thought of what he said, what he was saying. And we see Jesus said, come. Come on, Peter. Get out of the boat. Let's walk on water. Come to me. And when he walked on the water, when he got out of the boat and started walking, he was walking on water until he stopped looking at Jesus. And when he looked down below and around him and looked at his situation and his circumstances, he started to sink. And then he cried the shortest prayer we can pray. Save me. Two words. And we see Jesus being there, put his hand out and grabbed Peter's hand. And he caught him and said unto him, O you of little faith, therefore, wherefore dost thou doubt? Got into the ship, and when he got into the ship, the waves disappeared, the winds disappeared, and they made it to the other side. You know, we can look at Peter and we can criticize Peter for his lack of faith. But how many times have we been in his situation? If we look back at 2019, finding ourselves in a time where things around us were just not stable. You can imagine Peter when he's walking on water, it was like he's walking on ground. He had something underneath him to support him. And when he stopped looking at Jesus, when he took his eyes off of Jesus, all of a sudden his feet started to sink. And he's looking down and his body, and he's going into the water. Now, being as a fisherman, I would assume he knows how to swim. However, swimming in water where there's huge waves, I think can be very uncomfortable and perhaps unassuring of what's going to happen to him. But can we remember this past year when we were in a situation like that? You may not have. 2019 may have been a really good year for you. Or it could be a mix. But our focus. We tend to lose focus when we tend to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And what does that mean to keep our eyes focused on Jesus? To keep our eyes focused on Jesus means to be in the Word. It means to be praying. It means to be reading. It means to have alone time. I pointed out that Jesus wanted to be apart from everybody. He wanted to have his time. And do we have our alone time? In the midst of our trials of our life, do we kind of get away and have our one-on-one with Jesus? Are we meditating upon his word? Are we listening to him? Do we know where Jesus is at all times? Many times we get caught up in the storms and we don't know where he is. But we have the assurance that he's looking down on us. He knows where we're at. He knows where you're at. He knows your circumstance. And I was reading about on Peter, and when Peter asked Jesus, bid me to come out and walk on water, bid me to come to you, tell me to come to you. How many times in our lives when we find ourselves in a situation that is very uncomfortable, it's very challenging, and we want to make the first move? Maybe I can give an example. You're at work and things just have not been going well, and you just want to, you know what, I'm done, I quit, I'm out, I want to go. Now what? You don't have a job. Now you got to start looking for a job. It's always either, you know, they always say it's easier to get a job when you have a job. Do you just take that initiative on your own to get out of the boat and walk on water? No. You see, because it may not be in God's will. This was in God's will for Peter to walk. This was in his will so that he then can fortify, he can strengthen the faith of Peter. And not only Peter, all those that are around about, that were with him. When Jesus said to Peter, "Come," I was reminded of John 10:27, where it says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And he was talking about the disciples, but in John, he's talking about you and me. Do we hear the voice of Jesus? Do we hear the voice of our shepherd? You know, I said I was very appreciative of the Bible class lesson this morning. One of the comments that I made was that a CIA agent, when he goes through training, they give him a bunch of $100 bills, and all day long he's feeling those bills. And then when towards the end of his training, they'll slip a counterfeit $100 bill in there, and they have to pick it out. And 99.9% of the time, they pick it out. They can feel it. Why? Because they know they've been touching that $100 bill, and they know what that feels like as opposed to one that's counterfeit. Question is, when you hear God's voice, do you know that it's God's voice? Is he your shepherd? Can you hear his voice? Can you distinguish between his voice and somebody else's voice? Jesus performed his miracles for his own. They might be brought into a place of faith. Even Simon Peter, who was audacious enough to say, "Lord, bid me to come unto thee to walk on water," and actually walked on water, which should have cemented his faith, but took his eyes off of Jesus, and his faith failed. And I think that this is a story that we need to be reminded of. You know, as at the end of the year, you take inventory of your life or what has taken place in your surroundings, in my surroundings. Have you stopped to look at your own spiritual life and take inventory of your spiritual life? And where have you grown and where have you distanced yourself from God? Mind you, God's still up there. He's still looking. He's still there. We sang that song, "God is at my side." But where have you distanced yourself last year? You know, you can't change last year, but you can change this year. 2020 can be a change. One of the questions in Bible class is, what should our attitude be when looking into the future? What should our attitude be when looking into the future? Where is our heart? What are we focused on? Do we want to get closer to Jesus? You know, as I was studying this and I was reading, I read a phrase that said, you know, commentary of Peter says, well, at least Peter had a little bit of faith. It's better than not having any faith at all. We know the scripture says that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You can move mountains. So as we start this year, let's ask God to increase our faith, because he's the one that grants the increase. The increase of our faith to get out of the boat when he is near. The faith to hear him and to act. There was a quote that I read that says, "Expect great things of God and attempt great things for God." And I thought that was fitting. Let's ask God to increase our faith so that when we want to get out of the boat, that we'd not lose focus, that we would keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Because when we do that, we know that that's the best for us. May 2020 be a blessing to us all. When things go well, let's not forget to say thank you. When we find ourselves in perilous times, let's not forget to turn to God in prayer, because we're, you know, many times we want to take matters and situations in our own hands. And there's sometimes that there's nothing that we can do about it. But God can. And though sometimes we feel he's a million miles away, he's still right there. As we sung, God is by my side. May God bless his word.